Lord, make these words alive. Teach us, remove the distractions, focus our heart and mind on you now, Lord, and speak. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Galatians had a good start in the Christian life. Paul preached, they heard the gospel of grace and freedom, of forgiveness of sin through faith in Jesus Christ, and they seemed to receive it. However, as we've been going over, these Judaizers, false teachers, crept into the church and instructed them that they need to be under the Jewish law and be circumcised, the sign of the circumcision, the old covenant. In other words, legalism was being taught to them. And the freedom through Christ was now challenged. And religion entered in, and legalism. It was a burden now put on them. Hey, you don't have enough. You have to do this also. You know, it's been said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And that's true in everything. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I'm going to finish in heaven with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit, through my being born again and believing in Jesus Christ. We're finishers. We're going to finish well. It's true in our faith. It's how we finish. Paul loves these people, and he wants them to stay free, just trusting in the grace of God, salvation in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin in Jesus alone. And that's why he writes Galatians here, and we pick it up in verse 7. You know, he's confused. He says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" You started out well. You were doing well, it seemed, running the race well, but now something or someone has hindered you. Paul is using athletic terms, and he does a lot in his letters. He was very familiar with the games, the Greek games, Olympic games, and other athletic contests. And he says, who hindered you? See, in the race, the runners would have to stay in their own lane. You were assigned a lane and you had to stay there. And he's saying, literally, he's like, who cut in on you? Who cut in on you so that you stopped obeying the truth? What happened? Well, the Judaizers, they cut in and forced them to detour, change lanes or direction. He says, you were on the track of truth, following Jesus, and you're obeying a lie and getting off course. Why are you doing that? Many people today start off good, but then get off course. Because of legalism, Satan's attack, lure of the world, pleasure. We all know people like this. We ask ourselves the question when we look at them, you started out well. What happened? Oh, I thought they were a Christian. Oh, look at the way they're living now. Maybe some were detoured, got back on track, and they were truly born again. Praise the Lord, they came back. But maybe some weren't really born again. They got in the flesh. You know, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. Hey, the desires of this world, pleasure, you know, different things. Got in the flesh, some legal religion, or where they felt works were required to make it. Jesus wasn't enough. They just chose another track, maybe the track of the world. Hey, I'm missing out on fun or life. I get back on that track of the world. This upset Paul, as we will see. He has some harsh words for these who detoured, some of them. They were getting off track and getting into legalism. Verse 8, Paul says, this persuasion does not come from him, God, who calls you. Hey, they've come in, they've knocked you off track. It certainly wasn't from God. This persuasion that you need the Old Testament law and to be circumcised wasn't God that came in and says, hey, Jim, you got to do more. Jesus isn't enough. That's not from God. You know, there's some people that are searching their whole life for spirituality. Isn't it great we found it? We're done. I like things finished. I don't like it when they're hanging. There are some people can have 25 jobs hanging. I can't live like that. You know, I like things done. My wife laughs at that because she knows the way I am. I just need things done, completed. I'll always say, finish the job. You know, which is start, complete. You committed to something, commit to something, and do it, fulfill it, right to the end. And he's saying, hey, you found it. God isn't telling you that you have to do something else. I'm glad. I'm glad each year we don't have to meet and say, well, here's some new orders from God. Here's what else we have to do, folks. Oh, no. That's a burden. And that's what he's telling them. The Son set you free. Then in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, it's been said one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. And it's true. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. And even Michael Jackson said, girl. So verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It only takes one wrong person, one liar, to infect others. Someone can come into the church, into your circle of friends, and into whatever you're involved in, and they can infect everyone. You know, and leaven is a common symbol of evil and sin in the scriptures. You know, if the doctor says you have cancer, and he says, how much of it do you want me to take out? You better say 100%. Well, leave a little. I'm so comfortable with it. No. You don't want any leaven there. You want it all out. Get it out. Leaven is yeast. You know how yeast works. You just put a little bit in it, permeates the whole loaf. The whole loaf rises. It's there. It infects everything, is what it does. Put a little leaven in, the whole loaf rises. Let's read 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 1. Paul talks here in 1 Corinthians about the church, how to keep the church pure so that it doesn't spread and get infected. And you know, many places today, the world has been infected because they allow a little leaven and say, well, that's okay. Everybody is doing it. Or we're in the 2000s. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. He says, hey, there's some sexual immorality going on in your church. Sex outside of marriage. He says, even that someone has their father's wife. He says, and you're puffed up. You think, hey, we're Christians. We're saved by grace. We can do anything we want. They're at a license to sin. He says, you're puffed up and you have not rather mourned. And he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. He shouldn't be among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, put them out from among you. Don't associate with them. He says, don't infect the church. Don't infect the church. You allow it in and then it spreads. And one person says, well, they can do it, then I can do it. And that's what was happening here with the legalism. Being a Christian means that we live for Christ on a daily basis. It isn't just a label to put down on an application or something. What religion are you? We are born again, new creatures in Christ. Old things passed away. We live the new life of following Jesus, and we purge out the old leaven. We don't let it spread, even in our life. See, legalism was brought in, and it affected the people, and it just grows and grows. I read this week, legalism... See, they were legal. Hey, we're okay, you know. Legalism is like garlic. There is no such thing as a little of it. When you got garlic in there, you know you've got garlic in there. And he says, you've got to get it out. Verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, and you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. He says, but I have confidence in you people. But you notice, he says, in the Lord. Our confidence isn't in ourself, and their confidence isn't in their self. It's in the Lord. He knows if they're truly born again, God will get them back. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction. If a person isn't convicted, they're no doubt not born again, because it's the work of the Spirit to do that. I have confidence in you and in the Lord. So the Lord may have given Paul an answer as he was praying for them. Hey, they're going to be restored. He says, I have confidence in the Lord. Nothing I can do. I've already preached to you. You know, I've already shared the Lord with you. But I have confidence in the Lord. You know, I feel the same way. Over the years, I've seen many people come to the Lord. You have family, friends, coworkers, church members. You see people come to the Lord. And you see those that, well, you're not sure they've really committed to the Lord. And time tells and they fall away. They weren't really born again, even though they profess the Lord and go to church. But then there's those others, you know, like from day one, they're born again. They love the word. They want to be in church. I mean, that's a priority. No other thing takes place. That's first. They love the Lord. They want to meet with the Lord. They want to worship the Lord. They would choose him over every activity, event, job, whatever. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they want to worship him and serve him and meet with him and just love the Lord and share the Lord. And you just know it. And you think to yourself, don't have to worry about them. Don't even have to think about them. They're born again. God, hey, even if they do something today, God's going to make them miserable, draw them right back. I know that because that happens to me. You say something you shouldn't say, or you don't do something the Lord wants you to do, it bothers me. Is it you? It bothers me. Some people, they can do whatever they want today. It doesn't bother them. Bothers me. God has to be first in my life. I'm glad that I'm born again. I give God the thanks every day that he put his love for him in my heart, that I want to be with him. You know why? I'm going to spend eternity with him. That's a long time. And so, you know these people, and Paul felt that way, but you know what? They're going to be back. They're not going to go for it because they know the Lord. They're born again. And I have confidence in the Lord. Now, maybe some went that weren't truly born again, but those that are, he knew would come back. But he says in verse 10, but he who troubles you, those false teachers that come in, those people that get you to sin or get away from the Lord, they shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. The one who troubles you, the false teachers, those that would entice you to sin or to lie or whatever, God is going to deal with them. God forbid that we would ever cause another to fall. You don't want to do that. Hey, come join me. Let's do this. God forbid you ever do that. I ever do that. God's going to judge them. That's why we always have to stand for the Lord. Be strong. We want to take people to higher ground, not dumb down and get them to take it easy and be lazy. Oh, it's okay. Don't go today. No. And anything you're involved in, whether it's athletics, your job, or anything else, you want to challenge yourself and others to go to higher ground. You know, do it more. Exercise more. Go up. Don't come down to that fleshly level. And then you will be the best that you can be. But if you don't challenge yourself, and even in our faith, we'll get lazy in a week. As soon as you give in to one thing, you give in to something once, isn't it easier the second time? And then the third time? Well, that's okay. That's okay. You find, hey, I'm never going to church. Don't want to do that. Be strong. Strong in the Lord. We need discipline. And we need to discipline ourselves in our faith. And Paul's trusting in the Lord in their faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're just saying that today. And you can. If you want to. Some people don't want to be stronger in the faith. They're happy with the world. It's a great life, committing to the Lord fully. And he says, they're going to be judged. And verse 11, he says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, and by that he means having to be circumcised and to be under the Mosaic law, being under religious things, he says, if I'm preaching that, in other words, some people were saying, hey, Paul himself believes what we believe, that you need to be under the Old Testament law and circumcised. Legalism. Watch out. Check out everything you hear. Don't take a second party's word for it. Watch out. People will name drop at times. They do that in everything. They'll name drop and say, well, so-and-so believes this, or I heard so-and-so say this, or they're doing it. Watch out. Check it out for yourself. You know, what did they say exactly? What did they do exactly? Because people name drop, and apparently that's what some people they were doing, because Paul had a good name. He was one of the popular guys. Hey, well, Paul's just like us. He believes the same thing. Well, he says, I do not. No, he doesn't. He says at the end of verse 11, if I still teach what they teach, why do I still suffer persecution? Why do these Jews hate me if I'm teaching that? They would love me. Why am I suffering persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Then I wouldn't be suffering this persecution or offended because of the cross. If I preached that you need to do that also, be under the Levitical law and circumcised. Paul is suffering at the hands of the Jews because he teaches grace and faith in Jesus Christ. He sets people free because he's been set free. Otherwise, he wouldn't be persecuted by the Judaizers. You know, today, in our day, the cross, Jesus Christ, it's the only way, the cross. It's the only way to forgiveness of sin in heaven. But it's what's offensive to people. The cross, Jesus. That's what's offensive to people. You can talk about Buddha, you know, or talk about, you know, other faiths, Hindu, Muslims, whatever they are, all kinds of New Age things. You can talk about, people think you're cool. Oh, you're very spiritual. Wow, that's cool, man. Talk about the cross. Crucifixion as payment for your sin. And that's where people get offensive toward you, or defensive toward you, actually. You see, it brings persecution. It brings persecution in your home, in your workplace, in school, wherever you are. People think you're foolish or narrow-minded. You know, if we didn't preach the cross in that narrow way, everyone would probably like us. So if you want to be liked by everybody, just give up your faith. But what a cost! You're giving up heaven. If you're the only one left on earth that believes, praise the Lord, hold on to that faith. Because you're going to heaven. You're right. Just because everybody else chooses another way doesn't mean you're wrong. You're right. You're right. Look at Galatians 6, verse 12. And as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. They want you to do the same thing. Why? Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross. Many are going over there because they don't want to suffer persecution for the cross. I remember Jesus once told his disciples, hey, do you also want to deny me? Do you also want to go? And it was Peter that said, Lord, where else would we go? That's the way I look at it. What else would I do in my life? What else would I choose? Jesus is the only way. Now Paul gets really heated. Verse 12. I could wish that those who trouble you would cut off themselves. You know what he's saying here? He's so tired of them talking about having to be circumcised. He says, well, you know, I wish you would castrate yourselves and suffer. The word literally means mutilate yourself. He's so upset with them talking about this going down that road. He says, well, you know what? I wish those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. I wish they would just castrate themselves. Then he wouldn't be able to talk about it anymore. Just really upset at him, at these false teachers. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, I can do anything I want. I'm saved by grace. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity to do what you want in the flesh, but through love, serve one another. He says, you've been liberated. You've been set free by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But we've been set free to love, to serve, to worship our God. See, we've been set free to do these good things, not to do the worldly things. Well, I can do that. You know, I can do this. I can miss this. Well, I don't have to do that. I'm free. I've got Jesus in my life. Well, are you serving one another? Are you loving one another? Are you serving God? It says right here, you have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity to not serve. Use your opportunity, but through love, serve one another. We've been set free to be part of the church, to love other people, to love God. He says, don't use your liberty or freedom to sin or an opportunity for the flesh. See, freedom can be used for good or for bad. People can be set free and then become very vile. That's not good. They can become very fleshly, sinful. That's not good. Freedom can be used for good or bad. We've been set free to love. Through love, serve one another. And you know what? Only when you love, only when you are free to love and not forced to love, because of law, no one can really love. Only when you're free to love, see, we've been set free by Jesus. In other words, there's no legal contract there that you have to love one another, or our country doesn't have a law that says you must love one another. There's no laws like that, you see. We're free through Jesus Christ, and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to read next time, is love. So we've been set free to allow the Spirit to work through us, to love freely. Only when you're not forced to love because of some law can you really love one another and love God. See, forced love is not love at all. If you say you have to love. Love one another. Paul says use your freedom to love and serve one another. You're free to do that. Go ahead and use it. Because you now know what real love is. I thought I knew what love is before I was a Christian. I loved my wife, my children, loved certain things in life. And I thought that was love. When I became a Christian, when I was born again, and God changed my heart, I noticed a lot of things when I would use the word love, it was more concerned with others loving me and making me feel good. Oh, I love you. I love that. You know what I mean? My definition of love was more on the receiving end and loving others at a more convenient time or way. Whereas when you have the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, it's a giving love. You want to bless others. You want to bless God. You want to serve others. You want to serve God. You love because God has put his love in your heart. Now, you can quench the Spirit. Say, well, I don't want to get involved or I don't want to do that. Then you're going to be miserable. Because if you don't let the water out of a container, after a while it spoils. We're supposed to have rivers of living water in us. And Jesus said, that's the Holy Spirit. Got to be letting it out. Letting it out so it's fresh. And you are refreshed when you allow the love to come forth. But that was new. And I notice now my life is led by the love of God. Loving others and loving God. But it's not like, I have to do this. It's a natural, or you might say, supernatural tendency. As a matter of fact, it hurts if I realize I didn't love someone or hurt someone. Doesn't it bother you? It's like, oh, if someone shares, oh, you know, that really hurt me when you said that, like, oh, it breaks my heart. I don't want to do that. I want to share my love with you and God's love with you. I don't want to give you a piece of my mind. I want to give you a piece of my heart. Because we're to love one another. Jesus said, love your enemies. People look at that and say, well, I believe all the Bible but that one verse. You don't pick and choose what you want to believe in the Bible. When you say, I believe you, and you have as your doctrine, I believe that the whole Bible is the inspired word of God, you can't eliminate certain things in there. There are people today that do. He says, you should love even your enemies. That's challenging, the Sermon on the Mount. But we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, if I don't love, I'm not directed by some law to do that. I'm not going to be arrested if I don't love. The love police aren't going to come around and say, Jim, you didn't love today. Your wife filed a complaint. You know, you didn't love her enough last night. You went to bed not arguing because we never argue, but kind of having a disagreement, you know. And so the love police are here to arrest you today. No, there isn't a law. I do it. Like Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me. You know, when you're a kid and your parents say, clean up your room or mow the lawn, you're like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it at a snail's pace, you know, and irritate them. But if they don't ever tell you to do it, and one day you just get the bright idea, I think I'm going to clean up my room or mow the lawn, and you go out and do it yourself, you enjoy it, right? What's the difference? They told you to do it, so you rebel. But when they don't tell you to do it, you just want to do it. And that's the way it is with our love. We do it because we love, because we're born again. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. I show love to everyone. You know, we're not under the old covenant. You know, my freedom from sin is used to love God and others. And verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for flesh, but through love serve one another. We go from selfishness to selflessness as a Christian. We go from selfishness to selflessness. See the difference? I'm not selfish, I'm selfless. I'm willing to lay my life down as a sacrifice for others. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's hard. No, it isn't. You can walk out of this room today and shower your wife with love, and you don't have to worry that you'll ever love her too much. She loves to be loved. Wives, love your husbands. What's stopping you? You just walk out of this room and allow the Spirit of God to flow and love. And you're going to love when you start loving. You're going to find, hey, this is neat. And they automatically love me back because I'm just showering them with love. What can they say? That's the way to live. A lot of people don't want to. They say they believe in the whole Bible, but they won't do that. They don't really believe in the whole Bible. And if we did, we'd do it. For, you know, in the law, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. He's trying to tell them, you want people to be under the law, circumcised, under that old system which couldn't save? Well, I'll tell you this, verse 14, the law is fulfilled in one verse, one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love sums up the commandments. We went over that Wednesday night, the Ten Commandments. First four, demonstrate our love for God. Last six, our love for fellow man. People say, man, it's complicated being a Christian. There are so many do's and don'ts. No. Jesus said in Matthew 22, let's turn there, Matthew 22. You can just take your Bible out and or your phone and go to Matthew 22 and verse 36. And we see Jesus here. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. First and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. You'll fulfill it. You'll fulfill the whole law. You don't need the law. You just need to do this. And it's true. If you love people, you won't steal. You know, if you love God, you'll worship him. It's all there. Love summarizes it. That's what Jesus said. Just love. Matthew 7, verse 12 says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, he says, you want to sum it all up? Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. People misquote this verse. See, just like money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. Here's another one, though. You know, people put it in negative sometimes. Don't do to them what you don't want done to you. Well, I'm doing pretty good at that. You know, I'm living that way. But you notice what Jesus said, really? Do what you want men to do to you. This is active, positive. I want you to be doing that to them. It's not good enough to be negative. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. People are big on that. I'm not hurting anybody with this sin. You see, it's positive. Do to others. Be active and serving and loving one another. Do to others what you want them to do to you. Do you want people to love you? Is there anybody in here that wants everyone to love them? I think we all would say yes. Don't be so deceived that you say, well, no, I'm really a humble person. I don't really need that in life, you know. No, 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 let's be real. You want everybody to love you, and the proof is if you walk out of here today and I'm at the door and you're leaving, I say, boy, you do not look good today. Do you have the flu? You probably may not love me too much today, you see. But if you want everybody to love you, then love them. Now, I'm not saying they will, because they might not obey the Lord, but that's the way it happens right here. If whatever you want them to do to you, that I want you to do to them. And God says that's the way to live. See, legalism isn't real love. Love is from God. He so loved the world, he gave his son. You know, so many think grace and freedom in Christ enables people to sin and do whatever they want. It's not. It's to live for God. You have been set free to love, not to sin. And I've heard this in the past few years. People are putting books out on grace and talking about grace. And they talk about grace like it gives you a license to sin. No. You see, you don't have a license to sin. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. In the Old King James, it says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We can't. It's revolting. Grace gets us out from under the law to love, set free to love. But last verse today, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, brethren, beware lest you be consumed by one another. It seems there was fighting and quarreling and backbiting going on in this church. Legalism leads to division and fighting. Well, you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. It leads to division and fighting. You see, legalism. Freedom from grace leads to fellowship and peace. You know, the law stated in Leviticus 19:18 to love your neighbor as yourself, but they were biting and devouring one another. They were infighting because they were forced to love, because that's what it says in Deuteronomy. But when you're forced to love, you don't really love at all, not from the heart. It's just any outward appearance. You know, you can be so nice to a person when you're in your presence. There's two of you talking, that third person comes in. You stop talking and you're telling them how nice they are and everything. And as soon as they walk away, you start talking about them again. What an idiot. Did you hear that? You know, that's how people get. There's not real love in there, but they can really put it on. Oh, I love you. Hey, where's the love? Galatians 5:15, J. Vernon McGee said he always wanted to do a message on Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, I wouldn't want to do that. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And he says, I would title it Christian Cannibals. I chose to go to verse 14 and to give a message on love. Beware, you have love. The law cannot force people to love. But we Christians are free to love and are led by the Holy Spirit to do it, so we need to fulfill that. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for saving us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to love you and others. Before we partake of communion, Lord, we want to ask you to forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us. Lord, maybe we've said or done something this morning or yesterday or this week, and it was not right and the Spirit is convicting us, but we're fighting it. Please give us the strength and wisdom to ask for forgiveness right now and make it right. Lord, we don't want to have any iniquity in our heart. Create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit. And if one of you in this room is not born again, maybe you have a form of religion, but you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and been filled with the Holy Spirit and become a changed person, and that's your desire. Just acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God and he came to this earth to die on the cross for you because you and I are sinners. And he is the only way for forgiveness. He took your place as the sacrifice to pay for your sin. You must acknowledge you're a sinner and that you need to be forgiven. You must repent, which means turn from that old lifestyle, turn to following Jesus. And you must ask him personally into your heart and your life to take over. I'm going to say a prayer, and this can be just between you and the Lord. But you must mean it in your heart, in your inner being. Knowing God has revealed this to you, you know it to be true, and this is what you want to do today. You can just repeat this. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. I am sorry that I have sinned against you and hurt others. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me because he loves me. And I now ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and take over. I surrender all to you, dear Savior. Take residence in my heart and lead me in following you. I love you, Lord. And I thank you for your great love for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to live. And write my name in your book of life. And I now thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.